We are into our sermon series on the family, and today we're looking at Leah when feeling unloved. So if you have your Bible, you may turn to Genesis chapter 29, verses 31-35. You know, because of the fact that we are living in a world that is so messed up by sin, you and I, we all live through life getting hurt, experiencing pain, and also facing disappointment. Even our families are not spared. In fact, some of the most painful hurts and disappointments that we face in life, we face them at home. But how do we handle our setbacks in life? You know, the way we handle our setbacks in life shapes our character and determines our outlook and attitudes in life. Regardless of the pain and disappointments we face, sometimes despite the mistakes that we make, our life can be full of praise and thanksgiving, or it can be full of misery and grumblings. So this morning, I want to talk about the feeling of being unloved. Many wives feel that they are unloved. Sometimes husband feels that way too. And because of the strained relationships at home, many children and young people may feel unloved too. Especially those of us who grew up in broken homes. This feeling of unloved can be very overwhelming at times. I can still remember in my early years, as a child, when I was staying in the Salvation Army home, as an orphanage in Ipoh, many nights I went to sleep, you know, crying, wetting my pillow with tears. That feeling of rejection, of not being wanted. You know, our Bible passage for this morning relates the experience of a woman who was struggling with this feeling of being unloved by her husband. It's a story of Leah. And we can learn from her how we can live above the feelings of rejection to still live a meaningful and purposeful life. Before we read our text in Genesis 29, verse 31-35, let me give a brief account of the story leading up to the passage for today. You see, Jacob was running away from his angry brother Esau for stealing his father's blessing from him. And so Jacob went to Padan Aram to look for his uncle, a man called Laban. And Uncle Laban had two daughters, the plain-looking older daughter Leah and the beautiful younger daughter Rachel. When Jacob saw Rachel, he was enthralled by her beauty. And Genesis 29 verse 17 tells us that Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. She was gorgeous. And so when Jacob saw her, it was love at first sight. He wanted very much to marry her. And so Jacob went to his uncle Laban and said to him, "I want to marry your daughter Rachel, because I love her a lot." And so Laban said to Jacob, "It's better that I give Rachel to you than to any other man. I tell you what, you stay here, work for me for 7 years, and then I will give you my daughter Rachel." And so Jacob worked for his uncle Laban for 7 long years in order to get Rachel. But that 7 long years seems only like a few days because he was so deeply in love with her. And so when the 7 years was up, Jacob went to Laban and asked for Rachel. And so a great wedding feast was held. So happy that he could marry the woman that he loved so much, Jacob had a little too much to drink that evening on his wedding night. And so he went to his nuptial tent to consummate his marriage, half drunk. The next morning, when Jacob became more sober, he realized that the woman lying beside him was not his beloved Rachel, but rather her elder sister, Leah. The Bible tells us that while Rachel was exceptionally beautiful, her elder sister, Leah, had weak eyes. It's a euphemism to say that she's actually not very pretty, not very desirable. I wonder whether you ladies ever felt that way. I believe this morning God wants to say something to you. Those of us who are familiar with the story of Jacob know that Jacob was a con man. He was a swindler. In fact, a very good one indeed. Even though through God's work of transformation in his life, he eventually turned out to be a good character. We know how he cheated his brother of his birthright and his father's blessing. And this got Esau so angry that he wanted to kill Jacob. And so that's the reason why he ran away from home to escape his brother's wrath. And so being a swindler, Jacob could not anticipate that he himself could be cheated and conned by another person. So beyond his wildest dream, he did not realize that his uncle Laban was a more experienced con man than himself. So furious that he had been cheated by his uncle, Jacob stormed into Laban's tent the next morning and he demanded an explanation. "What is this that you have done to me? I served you seven years for Rachel, not this plain-looking daughter of yours. So why have you deceived me?" So Uncle Laban, with a cheeky smile on his face, replied, "Didn't you know that we have a custom here that the younger daughter, the younger girl, must not get married first before the elder sister does? I tell you what, finish this bridal week with Leah, and then you work for me 7 more years, and I will give you Rachel." But why didn't Laban tell Jacob about this custom 7 years ago? You see, like any shrewd and conniving businessman, Laban knew exactly what he was doing. He had wanted to trick the unsuspecting Jacob all this while. And because Jacob was deeply in love with Rachel, he had no choice but to agree with his uncle. And so he finished the bridal week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his other daughter, Rachel, to be his wife. And Jacob worked 7 more years for Rachel. And this is where we pick up our story in our sermon today. So if you would just stand as we read Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 to 35. Genesis 29, verses 31 to 35. "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, 'Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me.' She conceived again and bore a son, and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also.' And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, 'Now this time my husband will be attached to me. Because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi.' And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing." Let us pray. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, you know what is going on in each one of our hearts and each one of our lives. And you know that some of us are struggling with feelings of rejection and of being unloved. May your Holy Spirit come this morning and help us to look beyond our pain and see your hand at work in our lives. Mold us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts and our lips with praises for what you are doing in our life, despite the pain and the disappointment, for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. First of all, the first point I want to make is that we all want to be loved in our text here, verses 31 to 34. You notice that three times in our text, in these few verses, we read that Leah was unloved. She was hated by her husband, Jacob. She was unloved and rejected by him. She was not the preferred wife of her husband, Jacob. Now think about this for a moment. Why did Leah go along with her father's scheme to trick Jacob into marrying her? Now, our text doesn't tell us why, but we can use our sanctified imagination to guess why. You may be right if you say that she wanted to submit to her father's authority. Because in those days, you marry what your father tells you to marry. Being not as good looking as her sister Rachel, I'm sure Leah had always felt the pain of being compared unfavorably to her beautiful sister. Maybe she thought this would be her only chance of getting married. While we may not know the real reason why Leah went along with her father's scheme, but one thing we can be sure, Leah wanted to be loved. She wanted very badly to be loved. You see, rejection is painful. In fact, rejection is perhaps more painful than anything that you and I can suffer physically. Leah was desperately in need of love, especially her husband's love. But it was clear to all, and especially to Leah herself, that Jacob did not love her at all. Sure, he took care of her physical needs, but his heart was with Rachel. Every day, Leah woke up to the fact that her husband, Jacob, loved her sister, Rachel, more than he loved her. Let me read verses 31 to 32. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." We are told here in verse 31 that the Lord saw her misery, and God intervened by opening her womb and giving her a son. See, the culture in those days believes that bearing children is a sign of God's blessing, especially if the children are sons. Somehow their worth is elevated in those days in the extended family and in society when women had sons. Notice what Leah said at the end of verse 32. She said, "For now my husband will love me." Why? Because I born him a son. She thought that the Lord was helping her in her rivalry with her sister Rachel to get Jacob's love. Perhaps now she will get some attention from her husband Jacob. See, what Leah was thinking, that Jacob would love her now that she had given him a son, was not without reason. The world that Leah was living in back then and the world we are living in today is a world that loves conditionally. You are loved if you are good looking. You are loved if you are smart. You are loved if you have money. You are loved if you have skills and talents. And we learned that we are loved conditionally when we were in school. The more popular students are those who are good looking, those who are rich, those who excel in sports and studies. And then when you became young adults, the people who have the most friends, again, are those who have good looks, those who are popular, those who have money, those who are smart, and those who are really gifted and talented. Brothers and sisters, you and I must grapple with this fact and come out on top of it. Yes, it is very unfair for those of us who are not so good looking, not so rich, not so smart, not so talented. But this is a fact of life. And to some extent, we cannot do very much. We can't do anything about it. You cannot make someone love you. Leah thought she could. So when she gave birth to her first son, she named him Reuben, which literally means see a son. See, she thought that because she had just given her husband Jacob a son, now he would love her. But I want you to notice who is the one who named the son. Verse 32, it was Leah who named the son. Sorry, it's still in the first one. It's Leah who named her son. And earlier in Genesis, we read that it was Abraham, the father, who named his son Ishmael, as well as Isaac. And so we read in these verses. So it is Abraham. Okay, let me see. I got some of the PowerPoint a bit mixed up. Okay, I don't have those verses up there. For example, in Genesis 16, verse 15, it was Abraham, the father, who named his son Ishmael. And then in Genesis 21, verse 3, it was Abraham who named his son Isaac. And then later on in Genesis 25, verse 25 to 26, we read that Isaac and Rebekah together as husband and wife, they named their sons Esau and Jacob. I can still remember the excitement my wife and I had in choosing names for each of our four children when they were born. See, as a father, I played a major role in choosing names for my children. And the reason is because I was very happy to have them in my life. But in Genesis 29, verse 32, we read that it was Leah and not Jacob who named her first son, Reuben. So the writer of Genesis is giving us a very strong hint that Jacob was not particularly excited about the birth of his firstborn son, Reuben. The birth of Reuben was a non-event to Jacob. And his heart towards Leah did not change a bit. Verse 33 tells us that Leah gave birth to a second son, and she named him Simeon. And I want you to notice again that Jacob, the husband, the father, was not involved in the naming of this child. So Simeon literally means the one who hears. And Leah named her son Simeon because she was convinced that the Lord heard her cry of misery, that she was unloved. Leah knew that she was unattractive, that her husband does not find her desirable, that her father had to resort to trickery to get her married. Have you ever wondered why, whether Leah ever heard her husband Jacob said that he loved her? Have you ever wondered whether Jacob ever said that he loved Leah? Perhaps the only time Leah heard Jacob telling her that he loved her was on the very first night in the nuptial tent when she was pretending to be Rachel. Perhaps that was the only time she heard Jacob telling her he loved her. Verse 34 tells us that Leah gave birth to a third son. Let me read verse 34. And again, she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore, his name was called Levi. Notice here in this verse that instead of focusing on God, Leah had drifted to focusing on herself. Earlier on, she said that the Lord has seen her misery And the Lord had heard her cry of misery that she was unloved. But now here in verse 34, her focus had turned away from God to herself and her ability. Now this time, my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. So earlier on, she acknowledged that God had intervened, but now she's not even acknowledging God. So instead of looking to God for her security, she now looks to herself and to her husband for her security. You know, brothers and sisters, this is something that you and I must really guard against. You see, the pain of being unloved and rejected can hurt us so much that it can cause us to not be able to experience God in our life anymore. Perhaps some of you are feeling this right now. Perhaps you are looking to the approval of your spouse for your sense of security. And when he or she does not provide the love that you so long for, it can be pretty lonely. Perhaps some of us are looking to the approval of our parents for our sense of security. And if you have parents who are never satisfied with you, no matter how you have performed, you will grow up feeling rejected and unloved. Perhaps some of you are feeling that your parents love your siblings more than you. And whether that perception is right or wrong, you are feeling rejected and unloved, and your sense of security is shaken. Some of you young people are looking to the approval of your friends for your sense of security. And so you hang out with them, and you start doing things that they do, even wrong things sometimes, because you want to feel accepted, you want to feel wanted. And some of you are turning to soap operas like Desperate Housewives or sitcoms like Friends, and one of the latest one is Big Bang Theory. You watch those sitcoms because you want to numb your sense of loneliness and rejection vicariously. And so subconsciously, you are living the role of the desperate housewife or the straying husband in a soap opera that you feast upon. Like Lear, we tend to look for security and love in the wrong places. So, brothers and sisters, who are your Levites where you seek security? Is it your job? Is it your family? Your friends? What is it that you feel that if you get it, then you won't feel so rejected and so unloved? You see, Leah thought that after bearing Jacob 3 sons, her husband will now become attached to her. But our texts tell us that Jacob became even more distant. Of course, the reason we ask is why? And I want you to listen very carefully. You see, you and I cannot make someone love us. Young people, listen to this. Having sex does not guarantee that the person you have sex with will love you. Sex produces children, not love. Sex is the gift of God and finds its fulfillment within the bond of marriage that is grounded in the love of God. So you see, brothers and sisters, we all want to be loved, but we cannot make someone love us. But I have good news for you, and the good news is that there is someone who loves you, and he loves you unconditionally. And this brings us to our second and final point. Know that God loves you unconditionally. So here we have Leah, a wife, unloved. Yes, unloved in one respect, but greatly loved in another. See, when the Lord saw Leah in her miserable condition, that she was unloved, the Lord opened her womb and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God was showing Leah how much he loved her and cared for her. And Leah recognized that the Lord had intervened on her behalf in her pain and in her rejection. The Lord intervened and allowed her to bear three sons, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. And so she acknowledged God, and she knew that it was God's love that had let her have three children, three sons. But she wanted her husband's love. She was saying, if I may just imagine what she could be thinking in her heart, what she could be saying, I know God loves me. That is why he let me have three sons. But it is Jacob's love that I want, not God's love. She knows in her mind the love of God. She knows it is the love of God intervening. But she longs for the love of her husband. She thinks only her husband's love can truly fulfill and complete her. You know something, brothers and sisters? Many times we are like Leah. We say that God has seen and heard the misery that we are going through. Of course, we know in our mind the love of God. But then we turn around and we say, but it is the love of Jacob that we want. So some of you may be saying right now, yes, Pastor, I know that God sees my pain and he has heard my crying. I know that he loves me. But it is the acceptance of my friends that I want more than anything else. It is the love of my husband or wife more than anything else. Yes, even more than the love of God. It is the favor of my boss more than anything else that I want right now. Yes, even more than the love of God. But our text tells us that something happened that turned Leah's life around and give her a different perspective in life. Something that caused her to adopt a different outlook in life. So let us read verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. So it took quite a while, but when she gave birth to her fourth son, that Leah finally recognized that God loved her deeply and unconditionally. And so Leah named her fourth son Judah, and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Judah in the Hebrew language means praise. So this is the turning point of her faith in God. You can almost hear her say in freedom. If I may just imagine what Leah could be saying. She could be saying, you know, I'm not going to live like this anymore. Sulking and grumbling that I am unloved. Instead, from now on, I'm going to praise the one who has never ceased, who has never stopped loving me. I'm going to live my life in praise of the one who loves me and the one who loves me unconditionally. Notice that in verse 35, notice Jacob is not even mentioned now in verse 35. But now Leah is focused completely on the Lord. Something happened in the heart of Leah. Something drastically changed. There was a shift in her focus from her husband who did not love her to the Lord who truly loved her. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to grasp and understand that we are deeply loved by God unconditionally. We need to hear God say to us, you are beautiful in my eyes. You are deeply loved. And so finally, Leah realized that God's love is enough. Does not matter her husband does not love her, but God loves her deeply, and he had been demonstrating his love for her through her children four times round. Brothers and sisters, friends, I wish I can promise you that your husband and your wife will always love you. But I can't. I can't promise you that. I wish I can promise that your children will always love you and be filial to you. But I can't promise you that. I wish I could promise you that at work, you would be appreciated and you'd be promoted because of your effort that you have put in and not the person who curry favor with the boss. But again, I cannot promise you that. I wish I could promise you that you will have no pains or disappointment, no hurts in your life. And of course, I can't. But there is something I can promise you. And that is, God will always love you and he will never reject you. Listen to God's promise in his word in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Just an excerpt of it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And earlier on in the communion, our elder Chinting reminded us that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, you and I need to catch a glimpse afresh of the cross again and what our Lord Jesus has done for us. He was rejected so that we do not have to feel rejected again. He was left alone on the cross so that you and I will never have to feel lonely again. I want us to read Jacob's own words concerning Rachel and Leah before his own death. Genesis 48, verse 7, this is what Jacob said. As for me, when I came from Padan to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And there I buried her on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So I want you to take note of that, where Jacob buried the wife he loved, Rachel, along the pathway on the way to Ephrath, Bethlehem. Now let's look at Genesis 49, verses 31 to 32. And there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. And there they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there, here Jacob saying, and there I buried Leah, the field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. I want you to see the contrast here. You see, God's sovereign hand was at work. While Jacob buried the favored wife, Rachel, by the roadside as they were traveling to Ephrath, Bethlehem. Notice, Jacob buried Leah in his ancestral burial ground, a place of honor where Abraham and Sarah was buried, where Isaac and Rebekah was buried, and there Leah was buried. You see, after Leah found her fulfillment in God over the years, inner peace and spiritual beauty shone in her. It's not hard to imagine that when Leah died, she left smiling with the praises of God upon her lips. One more passage I want us to read. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and so on. So do you catch that? Judah, the son of Leah, the unloved wife. See, the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ goes through Judah and Leah, the unattractive, the undesirable, the unloved wife of Jacob. You know something, brothers and sisters? In the eyes of the world, you may be unattractive, undesirable, unfavored, unloved. But in God's eyes, you are deeply loved, unconditionally. You may not be aware of it yet, but He has a purpose and a plan for your life, like He had in Leah's life. Can you imagine the Messiah coming from Leah herself and not the beautiful Rachel? See, like Leah, you and I must learn to worship and praise the Lord. Yes, even in our pain and misery and disappointment, because we know that we are loved. We are deeply loved by God unconditionally. As response, let's bow our heads in prayer. As a response, wherever you are in your home, let's bow our heads. And I want to give us this time to respond to God, to allow Him to bring about healing in our heart, in our life, the wounds, the hurt, the disappointment that we are going through. Perhaps some of you are going through a very difficult season in your life right now, and you are feeling so unloved, so unwanted. Right this moment, God wants to heal that pain and that hurt. So if you want God to heal you, I would like you to take your hand and put it in your heart like this, if you can see me. Take your hand, your right hand, and put it, you know, on your chest, where your heart is. And I'm going to pray a prayer to God the Father, asking Him to come and heal us where we are hurting. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, You know the pain and the hurt that we are feeling right now, the feeling of rejection, of being unloved. And may Your healing hand right this moment touch us where we are hurting, so that we may be completely healed. Help us to learn from Leah that in our pain, we may learn to experience Your love and praise You. Father, we no longer want to seek the comfort of love in this world. Instead, we want to focus on Your great love for us. And so may Your love fill our hearts at all times, so that our mouths, our lips will keep on praising You, the One who loved us so deeply and so unconditionally. In Jesus' name, Amen.